It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix, Jeff and Taylor on the microphones. It is a Friday, a finally Friday edition, and it is time for us to have our main high school sports weekend preview. We're starting to round the home stretch of the regular seasons in the spring, already in team tournament play as well in tennis. Track state meets coming up soon. Here to discuss all of that with us once again is Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. Michael, thanks for being here again, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? The sun's actually out, and I know tomorrow's a different story, but we'll have maybe half a decent weekend for once.
Yeah, for once. That'll definitely be nice. I think we'll probably we'll take the sunshine today and hopefully Sunday, too, and be able to enjoy quite a bit here. And there's certainly a lot of high school sports to enjoy here right now, as I know there's all sorts of stuff going on, and you've been covering a ton of it here. And one thing I actually want to start off with here is a little bit of an award for a Greeley pitcher this week. Tell us a little bit about Keeler Voigt and his award.
Yeah, Keeler's had himself a tremendous season. I saw him pitch a no-hitter against Yarmouth early this year, and he was recently chosen New England Pitcher of the Week. So this is something that doesn't come as a surprise if you get a chance to watch him play. That's an award that's given out by Prep Baseball, and he's just been a key cog in this Greeley team that's right near the top of Class D South. It kind of seems like Greeley and Cape have separated themselves. That would be a fabulous regional final if it plays out that way. The teams have played 2 one-run games this year, each winning one. So there's very little separation between those two teams, and you know there's certainly some other contenders in there too, but you know, for my money, it's Cape and it's Greeley, and if they both take care of business, we could be set up for a great regional final on June 17th over at USM. But plenty of work to do. York's going to have something to say about it. Madomic Valley's having a terrific year. Lake Region's really quietly having a terrific year, and there's some other teams that are in the hunt too. But yeah, Keeler's just had a great season. Every time he takes the mound, there's a chance that he's going to do something special, just like several of the other pitchers in the area that we've been talking about so much here in recent weeks.
Yeah, and I'm interested too. I mean, what about him? Like, what is it? Like, what pitches do you in his arsenal have you seen that he's just been able to master? Because he's been so impressive to watch for Greeley. And it's also felt like a year outside of him where pitching's really starting to be the story of the season, yeah. Not just in Class A, but all classes, and not just baseball either, but probably softball bleeding into that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, he's physically, he's tall. He's got good stuff. He's not that overpowering. He's just a really smart pitcher. He mixes up his pitches really well. He's always around the strike zone. He doesn't mess around, and you know he's happy to trust his defense and let you put the ball in play. But he doesn't let you get any fat pitches to hit. So he's going to play at Colby next year. You know, I'm sure he'll have success at the next level too. And he's hoping to pitch his team to an elusive state title. It's hard to believe it's been over a decade now since Greeley's won a championship, and you know they couldn't have come any closer a year ago, when they were a strike away from going to the state game, and then they lost to Yarmouth in that regional final. And Yarmouth went on to win the title easily. So Greeley, they're hungry. Cape's hungry. Cape, it's been since 2004 since they won a championship, which is crazy to think. So very possible one of those long slumps will come to an end this season. But, yeah, I mean, pitching in general this season, you know, I'm working on a story right now about Scarborough. We know how great Eric Swenson is. He pitched the perfect game a couple weeks ago against Gorham. You got Ryan Sugars, who pitched and got the victory for Scarborough last night and a win over Noble. Nate Masters has pitched really, really well, too. And, you know, that's one of the reasons they're undefeated and atop the standings and one of the favorites to repeat. Wyatt Netto from Gorham has gotten a ton of attention this year for good reason. He's heading to Vanderbilt. He has electric stuff. He probably throws harder than just about anyone we've seen around here in a long, long time. So, I mean, there's no shortage of really good arms. Softball, Addison DeRoche has gotten a ton of attention for good reason here in her 2 years. And, of course, there's more where that came from. You know, Kennedy Kimball at Wyndham is terrific, too, and they're on a collision course here sometime over the next week. Hopefully the teams are supposed to play tomorrow. I have a feeling that's not going to happen, but they'll have to do battle there in the final week of the regular season and then possibly in the regional final, too. So great pitching all around, baseball, softball, and, you know, some of these kids are just really dynamic.
Yeah, really good stuff there. And you mentioned Scarborough baseball, and I want to touch on them a little bit now that they're 13-0 with a couple games left in their regular season, and the final one of which is going to be against the number two team right now in Class A South, being Marshwood, who's only lost once. So that seems like a fairly big game to end the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know enough about heels to know if Marshwood could actually catch Scarborough with a win in that game, but I do know that Marshall's just quietly put together a great year. You know, they're still far from the Portland area. We don't really see them or talk about them that much. But, you know, they've been a team that's been a thorn in Scarborough's side in recent postseasons. That wasn't the case last year when Scarborough went on to win the title. But, you know, the Reds, their priority is not to go 16-0. I mean, they'd like to. Don't get me wrong. There's something to be said for that, and that's a nice feat. But, you know, they know that when the postseason starts, anything can happen. You know, they happened to get hot at the right time last year, and they got incredible pitching. You have to figure they'll get incredible pitching again this season, but it doesn't guarantee anything. So, you know, they'd like the one seed. They'd like to go undefeated, but I think they just want to be clicking on all cylinders when the tournament starts. And, you know, based on what I've seen from them, they're already there. Just, you know, not only the great pitching that I alluded to, but they're really scoring some runs. You know, they're great with situational baseball. Stole 13 bases yesterday against Noble, so they make it happen on the base paths, too. And they're just going to be a really, really tough out. And, you know, Class A South, it really anyone on a given day, I would say keep an eye out for Falmouth. That's a team I would not want to play. They've won six in a row. Mike D'Andrea and his staff, they really kind of got it figured out now. There's a team that can pound the ball between Jacoby Porter and Tyler Simmons. They've both hit multiple home runs, and they're a team that's really going to be a matchup problem, especially when they have nothing to lose. I would not want to see them in my bracket. But, you know, Gorham's had a great year. TA is doing really well. They had a really exciting come-from-behind win over Gorham the other day in a game I covered. It was 9-2 going to the bottom of the sixth. The TA put up about 9 runs to come back and steal that one, so they're capable of beating anyone, too. And you got a team like South Portland sitting in the eighth spot right now, Stanford in the seventh spot. Both those teams have some big wins, and I think the Class A South tournament is going to be very exciting like usual.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. I don't mean to keep it on baseball, but it's been such a big week. You talked about that TA rally, 7 runs down to stun Gorham. Tell us a little bit about that ninth inning. It's not often you see that someone comes back 7 runs down in a game like that. It must have been quite the scene. I read the story. It sounded like it was quite the eventful day there.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is they did it. You know, they started at the bottom of the sixth. Wyatt Netta was still pitching for Gorham, and you figure a 7-run lead with him on the mound, it's lights out, right? His pitch count was high, so it was clear he wasn't going to be able to go the whole way, but I think Gorham had hoped he'd get one more inning. But, you know, I think he had a walk, a hit batter, an error, and the next thing you know, the wheels start turning. They have to go to their bullpen, and then Jacob Fish, TA's top hitter, comes up, bases loaded down two, crushes a double to tie it. Wild pitch puts TA in front, and that was all she wrote. I mean, just a wild and woolly comeback, and, it's the kind of game that I think will pay big dividends down the road for that team, just knowing that no deficit is too much to overcome. You know, they did have to go to Scarborough the following day, and they lost to Swenson in the Red Storm 5-2. So, you know, the highs in this league are high and the lows are low, but they're also fleeting because, you know, chances are you have a big game coming up the next day or two, so you can't really dwell on the result, positive or negative.
Absolutely. Let's turn things to the softball diamond here now, and we touched on it a little bit with at least the game scheduled for now between Wyndham and Chevres tomorrow, already having met once, and Chevres getting the win at Wyndham earlier on this month. How do you see a matchup whenever we get it, whether it's tomorrow or later on next week? How do you see it going the second time around? And do you think we'll see maybe a little bit of a different game this time around?
Well, I think the big question is who's Wyndham going to pitch, right? Because the first time around, Kennedy Kimball only went through the order one time. She only pitched a couple of innings. And I think the plan is they don't want Chevres to see her until a potential, you know, semifinal or regional final matchup. And if that's the case, I would guess that she won't pitch in this second meeting, which means that, you know, Chevres probably has a leg up there. But, you know, if Wyndham could beat Chevres, they would probably leapfrog Chevres into the top spot in the heels. So there is something to be said for that. They also have a big game coming up next week against Gorham. They beat Gorham earlier this week, but the teams are going to play again. So the Chevres still has Kennebunk, too, and their great pitch is Julia Pike. So it's not just Chevres and Wyndham. There's some other teams factoring in here. I mean, these top four teams in the heels are all playing each other here to close the regular season. So there's lots still at stake. I think for Chevrolet, they're not getting too worked up about one game, even if it is Wyndham. You remember last year's regular season finale, that game was so highly touted, and you know Wyndham won that game, but Chevrolet ultimately won the war by winning that epic regional final. So, I mean, they know even if they do win tomorrow, or you know if the teams play next week, it doesn't guarantee you anything. It's what happens when the tournament starts, and they're just clicking on all cylinders. I mean, they're getting the phenomenal pitching you'd expect from Addison DeRoche, and just this team offensively is light years beyond what last year's championship team was. So they're a scary team to play. It doesn't matter who you pitch, but you know, so far so good for Chevrolet. You win them, I think they feel like they're right where they want to be too. And you know, the biggest matchups are still to come between those teams. And like I say, you can't overlook a team like Gorham or Kennebunk either. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see how the next couple weeks shake out with softball. And if we do get that Chevrolet-Wyndham regional final, I guarantee you're going to see the best from both teams. And that could be another instant classic like last year.
Yeah, and you bring up Addison. It's been pretty cool this past week, too. I saw her family, Chevrolet, also shared it on their social media pages, her getting ranked by Softball America as the number one pitcher in all of the class of 2027, which was, like, to me, really an indication of where, because we have been hearing about where she is, you know, amongst, you know, her peers and rankings, but to see Softball America put out on May 26th that she was the number one ranked pitcher of the class of 2027 as that's starting to roll out was something I think we definitely had to make note of, because that's quite the accomplishment, and I feel like we're probably just seeing the tip of the iceberg of what she's going to be able to accomplish in her softball career.
Yeah, that honor certainly speaks volumes when you think about how difficult it is to succeed as a baseball softball player here in the state when the season is so short. And you know, it's been well documented that she travels a ton around the country and plays in a lot of showcases, and she's certainly been visible to some of these coaches of the top D1 programs, and you know, when the time comes, she's going to have a big decision to make, because she's got a ton of schools that'll be interested in her, including the biggest names in college softball. So the most impressive thing about Addison DeRoche, though, is that her demeanor, none of this gets to her. She does not have a big head at all. She loves being with her teammates. She loves to be part of the team and helping them win. You know, she's quietly become just as dangerous a hitter. Maybe not quietly, because the ball goes off her bat pretty loudly, but she's become a very, very formidable hitter on top of her pitching dominance. So just a joy to watch. You know, we'll enjoy her as long as we can. I mean, last year was just unbelievable when she took the softball world by storm. And this year, everyone knows what to expect, and everyone's gunning for her, and she's been just as good. So, and most importantly, she's a terrific kid. So just a really, really impressive young lady on multiple counts. And, you know, like I said, it's a thrill to cover her, and, you know, hopefully we'll get to continue to do so. But she's someone like Cooper Flagg that I think we're going to be cheering on for a long time.
Yeah, certainly looks that way. Again, we're joined by Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports for our main high school sports weekend preview. Sticking with softball here, of course, Class B South starting to shape up. York still undefeated at 13-0, Levitt, Madomic Valley, Freeport, Greeley all right behind, although I know Yarmouth is starting to kind of get it going themselves, only 5 wins, but they're starting to knock off some big teams.
They have. They beat Greeley both meetings this year, and they just had a decisive win over Freeport. And actually, the first time they played Freeport, they let a big lead slip away, or they could have had that one too. You know, Yarmouth, they let some wins slip away earlier this year. If they had them, they'd be way up in the standings. But, yeah, this is a team that no one's going to want to play. They have struggled with York, so I think Yarmouth would love to avoid York if they could. But, you know, a team on the rise is still relatively young. They can really, really hit the ball, and they're going to be tough to beat. But, you know, York, I can't remember the last time they lost a regular season game. It's got to be 3 years. So this is a team that just goes out and takes care of business day after day, and they want to get back to that state game. They want to win that championship, and they're going to be really tough to knock off ultimately.
Yeah, and heading over to the lacrosse field, touching on Falmouth, we knew last time when we left you, Michael, last week, right, we were heading into a massive matchup between the Clippers and Navigators. Tell us how that went for those who may not have been keeping up with you.
Great environment. It felt like a postseason game. Yarmouth was probably the better team in the first quarter, and they were right there with Falmouth in the first half. It was a one-goal game, but you know, ultimately, you can only hold that prolific offense at bay for so long, and Falmouth finally came alive in the second half and went on to win by 8 goals. Kind of a misleading final score. You know, Falmouth was clearly the better team, and they pulled away late, but for a big chunk of that game, Yarmouth hung tough, and it's only going to make Yarmouth stronger in the long run. Now, a couple hours from now, they play down at York, who is their big competition in Class B. Yarmouth beat York 7-1 in the first meeting last month up in Yarmouth. incredible defensive effort by Yarmouth in that game, and now they got to go down and play York on the grass, and York's looking for some revenge. I'm actually going to head down and cover that game because it's not only is that game going on, but there's also a Freeport Girls York Girls game at 2:15. So it's going to be worth the drive for me to cover a couple of games between top teams down there today. But yeah, I think, you know, for Yarmouth, they're clearly the second best team in the state. Falmouth is clearly the best team without question. Falmouth still has to go to TA next week, so I'll be curious to see if TA has closed the gap at all. Those teams met way back on April 17th, first game of the season, and Falmouth won 19-7. You know, Thornton Academy can close that gap a little bit. Maybe they'll have some hope that they could knock them off come tournament time. But, you know, right now Falmouth just lived up to billing, not only as the best team in the state, but, you know, we might have this conversation in a couple weeks where they rank all time, and I think they might be near the top, if not at the top, if this team goes undefeated and wins the championship.
Yeah, that will definitely be interesting to watch there. As we look at girls lacrosse, I know you covered Freeport once again this week, yeah, as they remained unbeaten, knocking off Wayne Fleet this week. So the Falcons continue to roll right along.
They do, although they have company there at the top of the standings in Mount Ararat, and they've kind of been jockeying for that one seed. And it doesn't really matter all that much because if they play, it wouldn't be till the state final anyway. And, you know, they'd both get a quarterfinal at home and then play a semifinal in a neutral site. So, you know, being one or two isn't that important. I think Freeport would love to go undefeated, but they know that guarantees them nothing. And I think for Freeport, their biggest goal is they want to avoid Greeley as long as possible, just because Greeley gives them so much trouble, including knocking them off in last year's state game. And when the teams met early this year, Freeport only won by a goal. So I know they're very aware of the three-time champs, but they're just looking to take care of business, and just some great senior players, some great senior leadership on this team. It's state title or bust, and they're looking really good. You know, you mentioned them, they beat Waynefleet the other day, and that's a really interesting story. And where Waynefleet's the defending Class C champion, and right now they're on the cusp of not making the playoffs, even though they have a very good team. If they get in, I think they could win the title regardless of where they come from. But at the moment, they're in the 9 spot, and only 8 teams make the playoffs. So Flyers need some wins, and they've got a chance to get some wins here in the next few days. They've got Trape Academy today. They've got Greeley tomorrow, and then they've got Moranacook, who's in the 2nd spot next week. So if Waynefleet can get a win or two and get in the tournament, look out. If not, it's going to be quite an omission, because they are certainly worthy of going. But as of right now, they're on the outside looking in. And, you know, in Class A, it's still a Kennebunk leading the way with, I think, Wyndham probably being the second best team. You got some other really strong teams too, chasing Kennebunk and Jefferson Gorham. I think, you know, they're right there. Thornton Academy, even though they're way down the heels, they're a tough team. Falmouth's really come around here in recent weeks. Played Kennebunk tough last week, only a 2-goal loss, and Yarmouth hit its stride. Now they were 3-6 at one point with a 5-game losing skid. They've now won 3 in a row. Seems like this is what they always do, and they're always at their best in June. So it doesn't matter where they're going to be ranked. No one will want to see them come tournament time.
Yeah, well, and also I want to make sure we highlight, too, something you put in your newsletter for a couple fundraisers this weekend.
Yep.
One with South Portland softball team. They're hosting a softball game for the Special Olympics Sunday from 12 to 3 p.m. at Wainwright Farms. But also, I mean, if you could touch on both of them, but this one especially, I know for a lot of people in that Oceanside community, a fundraiser that's going to benefit the family there of Tyler Patterson will be held Sunday 9 to 11 at Bates College in Lewiston. Can you tell us about both of these fundraisers? There's obviously a lot of importance to a lot of people for both of them, and for many reasons.
Yeah, you know, certainly the community up the Oceanside community was rocked when the Tyler Patterson passed away. I believe he was only 33. Such an awful, tragic story. But, you know, the fellow coaches around the state are trying to help out the family, and that's kind of the purpose behind this clinic. It's called He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. It was kind of put together by Skip Capone, the coach at Cheverus. And I know there's been a lot of interest around this, and it'll certainly be a nice help for that family. And, the South Portland softball team, Annalise Doosky's kind of put together this benefit for Special Olympics, and that'll be held Sunday, which I think is supposed to be the nicer day of the weekend out at Wainwright Farms, and that's for players in grades 8 and up. So a lot of great things going on in the community, and there's probably things I'm not even aware of that I'm happy to publicize anytime I can, but it just goes to show there's so many people looking to give back and help, and you know, it's often when things are at their worst, that's when people are at their best, and you know, that's kind of what we're seeing here.
Yeah, for sure. And as we get done with you here, we're pretty much in the final week of regular season now for baseball, softball, and both lacrosses. We're underway now in the team high school tennis tournaments as well, with state meets coming up in track and field as well. What should people be kind of watching for here this weekend and over the next week?
Yeah, well, if you're a fan of track and field, it's a big weekend because you've got the Western Maine Conference and the Southwesterns, the SMAA meets going on. Those are always very popular and kind of give you a clue of what to look for the following week in the state meets, because that's how far we are from crowning our first champions of the spring. The track state meets are next weekend. Tennis will crown its champions the following weekend. I think you're going to see a lot of familiar names winning titles again if the regular season records hold and recent history holds. Don't be surprised to hear a lot of Falmouth Yarmouth Waynesley talk when we get down to the brass tacks there in that sport. So a lot to look forward to there. And, yeah, when we talk next week, I think we'll pretty much be done with the regular season in baseball, softball, and lacrosse. We can just start looking ahead to playoff matchups and you know, who the favorites are going to be. And it's going to be the best time of the year. It's all going to come to a conclusion very quickly. You know, a lot of high schools already have had graduation or are about to have graduation, so a lot going on for a lot of these kids, but they still want to win badly, even if they have technically moved on from their respective schools.
All right, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports with our Maine High School Sports Weekend Preview. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll talk again next Friday.
Yeah, guys, always a pleasure, and yeah, it's always a lot to talk about, and it's always fun to chat with you, so have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Again, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. We'll come back and put the finishing touches on Hour 2 on a finally Friday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix.